Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Today we're diving into data loss prevention.
DLP for sure.
DLP, right? Yeah. Based on some really interesting stuff you sent us.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic.
It is. So we're going to unpack all kinds of things about DLP.
Absolutely.
The types, the states of the data, and how to control and secure it.
And maybe some surprises along the way.
Oh, I like surprises.
Some limitations you might not expect.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So let's start basic. What is DLP?
Well, at its core, DLP is all about preventing sensitive data.
Those crown jewels.
Exactly. Customer lists, financials, research, all that good stuff.
Keeping it safe and sound.
From leaving your organization's control, whether it's intentional.
Or total accident.
Right. It's not just about stopping theft, but misuse, too.
Unauthorized access. The whole nine yards.
Exactly.
Okay, so how does a DLP system actually work?
Well, they're quite clever, actually. They scan unencrypted data.
Looking for clues.
Yeah, specific keywords, patterns, even those data classifications like confidential.
Like a digital detective.
That's a great way to put it. They sniff out those potential leaks. But this keyword approach has its limitations. Think about a financial report. Lots of numbers, but alone, not sensitive.
They're just numbers on a page.
Exactly. A basic DLP might flag it a false positive because it's the context that matters.
The combination of those numbers, the specific format, the whole picture.
You got it. And that's where things get complex.
Especially as we move beyond simple text.
Right. Images, videos, audio, that's a whole other challenge.
We'll get to those. But first, the types of DLP.
Good plan.
Our research mentions three. Network-based, endpoint-based, and cloud DLP.
Those are the big ones.
Let's start with network-based. Paint me a picture.
Okay. Imagine your organization's network as a bustling city. Information flowing everywhere.
Highways.
Exactly. Network-based DLP sets up checkpoints at the city borders. Every package in or out is inspected.
Wow. So every email, file, upload, everything's scrutinized.
You got it. It's looking for things like, say, someone emailing a huge spreadsheet of customer data to their personal account.
Or uploading code to a public site.
That's right. It's that first line of defense, catching those leaks before they leave.
Okay, makes sense. Now, what about endpoint-based? How is that different?
Shift your focus from the city borders to individual buildings.
Inside the city.
Right. That's endpoint-based DLP, securing the devices themselves.
Laptops, desktops, phones, all of them.
Anything holding sensitive info. It's about controlling the device itself.
So preventing someone from copying files to a USB drive.
Or taking screenshots, printing restricted documents, all those things.
Like a security guard for each device.
You got it. It's all about what happens on that device.
Okay, and then there's cloud DLP. That's for when data is stored in the cloud, right?
Right, with services like AWS or Azure.
So it's kind of like a security detail for the whole city's infrastructure then.
Precisely. It understands the unique challenges of the cloud.
Shared responsibility, constant data movement, misconfigurations, lots to consider.
Absolutely. It's a whole other ballgame.
It sounds like each type of DLP plays a specific role in a good data protection strategy.
Couldn't agree more. Now, to really understand how DLP works, you got to think about the data itself.
How it exists, right?
Exactly. Data at rest, data in motion, and data in use. Three states.
Okay. Break this down for me.
Think of a normal workday. Project files on your hard drive, that's data at rest.
Just sitting there.
Right. Then you email a file, data in motion.
Zipping through the network.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Open that document and start editing. Data in use.
Got it. So static, transferring, and actively being worked on.
You nailed it. And DLP has to be effective in all three states.
Can't just focus on one.
Right. Because a file on a server is one thing, but what if someone downloads it, edits it, then tries to send it outside the company?
That's where things get tricky.
That's like a house security system. Protect it when empty, monitor when people are coming and going, and keep an eye on things inside while it's occupied.
Makes sense. You need all those layers of protection.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about the controls organizations can use.
This is where the rubber meets the road. What tools are we talking about?
Well, there are three main categories: governance controls, people controls, and IT controls. Let's start with governance, shall we?
Lead the way.
Think of governance controls as the rules of the road. They're the policies, procedures, guidelines for handling sensitive information.
Before you even think about technology, you need the rules in place.
Precisely. And a big part of that is data classification.
Categorizing data based on its sensitivity?
Exactly. Public, internal only, confidential, restricted, you name it.
So you're not going to protect a public marketing brochure the same way you would, say, your company's secret formula for world-famous cookies.
Now, that's a recipe worth protecting, but you get the idea. It's about a risk-based approach.
Protecting the most valuable stuff first.
Exactly. So data classification helps you prioritize your efforts.
Okay, so that's about what to protect. What other policies are involved in governance controls?
You also need those data handling policies. Specific procedures for accessing, sharing, storing, even disposing of sensitive data.
Things like password rules, multi-factor authentication, encryption, data retention, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. It's a structured framework for handling sensitive info at every stage.
And those policies need regular updates, right? The digital world is always changing.
Absolutely. Can't be static in a dynamic world. And speaking of a changing landscape, let's not forget about the people involved.
Okay, let's talk about the human element. Where do people fit into all of this?
Well, even with the best tech, people can be the weakest link.
The human factor.
Exactly. Accidental leaks, phishing scams, weak passwords, lost devices, they can all lead to breaches.
So it's not just about fancy technology. It's about making sure people use it wisely.
You got it. People controls focus on education, security awareness training, phishing simulations, building a culture of security.
Empowering people to be the first line of defense, not a vulnerability.
Precisely. A security-conscious workforce is a powerful asset.
Makes sense. So we've covered governance and people controls. Now let's talk about IT controls. What's happening on the tech side of things?
The tech. This is where things get exciting. It's all about the tools and systems to enforce those policies and prevent unauthorized access.
Firewalls, intrusion detection systems, antivirus software, encryption.
You're on a roll. And of course, specialized DLP software.
So this is where all those cool gadgets come into play.
Exactly. But remember, even with all this powerful tech, it's not a silver bullet. You need the whole package, governance, people, indie technology.
A layered approach. Makes perfect sense. But even with all these layers of protection, are there still limitations to DLP? Can things still slip through the cracks?
That's the million-dollar question. And unfortunately, even the best DLP systems have their limits.
So even with the best intentions, sometimes things can still go wrong.
It's the truth. One big challenge, as we mentioned earlier, is improperly configured DLP modules.
What exactly does that mean? And what happens when things go wrong?
Well, imagine a DLP system scanning for confidential or top secret.
Okay, standard procedure.
Right. But what if it flags a harmless marketing email that says, top secret tips for boosting sales?
Oh no, a false positive.
Yeah.
The system's technically working, but it's creating unnecessary chaos.
Exactly. And then there's the flip side, which is even worse. False negatives.
When the system misses a real threat.
You got it. Maybe someone disguises sensitive data, or the system isn't set up to recognize a certain file type.
And valuable info just walks right out the door.
It's a nightmare scenario. So you see, it's a constant balancing act.
Making sure it's thorough, but not too restrictive.
Exactly. And there's another big challenge we need to talk about, classifying graphics files. That's where things get really tricky.
Graphics files, images and photos. Why are those a problem?
Well, think about traditional DLP. It's focused on text. Keywords, patterns, strings of data.
Right, like searching for a needle in a haystack of words.
Exactly, but images don't have that searchable text.
So if someone takes a picture of a whiteboard with confidential information, the system might not even see it as a threat.
That's the issue. Traditional DLP is blind to the information within images.
I see. So how do we solve this graphics file dilemma?
Well, some DLP systems are starting to incorporate OCR technology.
OCR. Remind me what that stands for.
Optical character recognition.
Right. It's like teaching computers to read.
Exactly. OCR converts the visual info in an image into machine-readable text that the DLP system can analyze.
So it's like giving the DLP system X-ray vision.
Love that analogy. OCR can be a game changer, but even it has limits.
It can't read everything perfectly, right?
Right. It struggles with handwritten text, complex layouts, poor image quality, all sorts of things.
So even with OCR, there's still room for improvement.
Absolutely. It's an area where we're seeing a lot of innovation, but, you know, we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have. Different types of DLP, the challenges of protecting data in all its forms, and the importance of a layered approach.
We've only just scratched the surface.
There's so much more to explore, so much to learn.
Exactly. And we'll dive deeper into all of it.
Right after a quick break. Don't go anywhere.
You know, it's amazing how DLP is always changing, trying to keep up with these challenges.
Always evolving.
Especially with images. That's where machine learning is showing a lot of promise.
Machine learning. We hear that term everywhere. How is it shaking things up in DLP?
Well, traditional DLP relies on those predefined rules and patterns.
Like those keywords and data structures we talked about.
Exactly. Machine learning turns that on its head.
How so?
Instead of programming it, you train machine learning algorithms on tons of data.
So it learns by example.
Right. It learns to recognize sensitive information from context.
So instead of just looking for top secret in a document,
it might recognize a financial report by its layout, the data it has.
Or even if someone is acting suspiciously with the file.
Exactly. It's like going from a simple metal detector to a high-tech imaging system.
One that can tell the difference between a bottle cap and a buried treasure.
Perfect analogy. Machine learning makes DLP way more intelligent and adaptable.
Okay, so what are some examples of how it's being used right now?
One big one is improving OCR. Traditional OCR can struggle with complex layouts.
Or blurry images.
Right. Machine learning can be trained to recognize different fonts, handwriting.
Even predict missing characters.
It's like teaching OCR to read ancient scrolls.
That's incredible. So it's not just recognizing text, it's understanding it.
Precisely. Machine learning can also analyze the context of data.
Like that financial report example.
Right. It can see the relationships between the data points, the formatting, even user behavior.
Connecting the dots instead of just looking at individual words.
You got it. It's all about adding that layer of intelligence to DLP. But even with machine learning,
there are still challenges, right?
Of course. Technology is always evolving, and so are the ways to exploit data.
It's a never-ending race.
Exactly. But the key is to stay informed, be proactive, and embrace new tech.
Don't fall behind. Speaking of being proactive, our research mentions specific controls.
Beyond the technology itself.
Right. Policies and procedures. It sounds like they're just as important.
You're absolutely right. Technology needs a good framework to operate within.
So back to those governance controls we discussed earlier.
Yep. Data classification and data handling policies.
Crucial stuff.
Absolutely. You have to establish clear policies for classifying data by sensitivity level.
Public, internal, confidential, restricted, all those categories.
Exactly. It's like a hierarchy of information. You know what needs the most protection.
And then data handling policies guide how that information is actually handled.
Precisely. Those policies provide the specific instructions.
On how to access, share, store, even get rid of sensitive data.
You got it. Wow. Password rules, multi-factor authentication, encryption, data retention, secure disposal.
It's all about covering every stage of the data lifecycle.
Right. And it's not just about preventing accidents.
It also helps with compliance.
Absolutely. Regulations like GDPR and HIPAA are very strict.
You have to show you're taking data protection seriously.
Documented policies and procedures are essential for that.
Okay, so strong governance controls are the foundation.
Now let's talk about the human element again.
People controls.
Exactly. Because technology is only as good as the people using it.
Right. Someone could accidentally email a confidential file to the wrong person.
Or leave their laptop at a coffee shop.
Human error is a big risk.
That's why security awareness training is so important.
Teaching employees how to spot phishing scams, create strong passwords,
and handle sensitive information responsibly.
Making everyone a security advocate.
Precisely. A security-aware workforce is a powerful defense mechanism.
Okay, and then what about the technical side? What IT controls are important?
Well, network monitoring is essential.
Keeping an eye on all the data coming in and out.
Exactly. You need to look for anything unusual.
Like large data transfers to strange places.
Or multiple failed login attempts.
Early detection is key.
Absolutely. It can minimize the damage from a breach.
And endpoint protection. That's about securing individual devices, right?
Right. Like laptops, desktops, and smartphones.
Preventing data loss at the source.
You got it. That's where antivirus software, firewalls, and disk encryption come in.
And DLP software that can actually monitor and control data transfers.
Exactly. It's about having multiple layers of defense for each device.
And what about email security? That seems like a big one.
Huge. Email is still one of the most common ways data is lost.
Whether it's an accident or a phishing attack.
Exactly. So you need robust email security measures.
Like email scanning software to detect sensitive information.
And anti-phishing tools to catch those tricky scams.
It's about protecting data going out and stopping threats from coming in.
Precisely. And with so much data in the cloud these days.
Cloud security is a whole other ballgame.
It is. Securing data in the cloud requires a different mindset.
What are some of the challenges?
Well, there's the shared responsibility model.
Where the cloud provider and the customer both have a role to play.
Right. It's like renting an apartment. The landlord secures the building.
But you're responsible for your own apartment.
Exactly. And cloud environments are complex. Data is always moving around.
It makes it hard to track and secure.
It does. So you need strong access controls, encryption.
And monitoring.
Crucial. You need to see what's happening in your cloud environments.
Looking for any suspicious activity.
Exactly. Monitoring and logging are essential.
It's all about visibility and control.
Precisely. DLP is a complex challenge.
It requires a comprehensive approach.
Technology, policies, and people all working together.
And it's constantly evolving.
Organizations need to stay vigilant and adapt.
We've covered a lot. The types of DLP, the states of data, those controls.
And some of those limitations to watch out for.
But before we wrap up, let's talk about removable storage devices.
Ah, yes. The often overlooked vulnerability.
It's so easy to just copy files to a USB drive.
And that's what makes them dangerous. Sensitive data can walk right out the door.
So how do we mitigate that risk?
One approach is to make all removable devices read-only.
So you can access files, but not copy anything new to them.
Exactly. It's like a library. You can borrow books, but you can't add your own.
But how do you actually enforce that? Can't people just change the settings?
That's where endpoint protection software comes in.
It can enforce those policies across all devices.
Even if someone tries to change the settings.
That's a smart solution.
And it's not just for highly sensitive industries like healthcare and finance.
It's a good idea for everyone.
Absolutely. Being proactive is key.
We've learned so much about DLP today.
It's been a great discussion.
But before we go, I have one final thought.
Oh.
I'm intrigued. We've talked about the challenges, especially with those graphics files.
Right, those are tricky.
But how could AI and machine learning change things in the future?
That's a great question. Think about a DLP system that not only recognizes sensitive data in images,
but understands what it's seeing.
Exactly. It could tell the difference between a harmless whiteboard photo and a financial statement.
No more struggling with those edge cases.
It would be like having a security expert built right into the system.
Amazing. And AI could even help with managing DLP policies.
Instead of manually creating complex rules,
AI could learn from our data and create them automatically.
That would free up security teams to focus on bigger things.
It's like having an AI assistant that helps you stay ahead of the threats.
Exactly. And who knows what other innovations AI will bring to DLP?
It's exciting to think about. AI and machine learning in DLP, it's mind-blowing to consider the possibilities.
It really is. Imagine a DLP system that can truly understand images, the context.
Not just recognizing text, but knowing what it means.
Exactly. It could tell a harmless picture from a sensitive financial document.
No more false positives from a whiteboard photo.
It would be like having a security expert analyzing every image.
That's incredible. And what about managing policies? Could AI help with that?
Absolutely. Instead of creating complex rules manually.
Which can be really time consuming.
AI could learn from our data and automate that process.
It would save so much time and effort.
And it could keep those policies updated, adapting to new threats.
It's like having an AI assistant for DLP.
Constantly learning and improving.
Wow, the future of DLP is looking pretty amazing.
There's so much potential with AI.
This deep dive has been a real journey.
We've explored so much about DLP.
From the basics to those complex challenges.
And the exciting possibilities with AI.
It's clear that DLP is more than just technology.
It's a whole mindset, a culture of security.
Everyone has a role to play.
Absolutely. Protecting data is a team effort.
So as we wrap up, what's the one key message you want our listeners to remember?
DLP is an ongoing journey, not a destination.
It's about staying vigilant, adapting to new threats.
And embracing new technologies like AI.
It's about understanding the value of your data.
And taking proactive steps to protect it.
Well said. This has been a fascinating exploration of data loss prevention.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay secure.